This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. Throughout these winter months, we've had the privilege of conversing with some remarkable individuals this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. In this week's episode, we're heading to Southern Oregon to talk to an incredible hiker and waterfall chaser. Her name is Tana. You can follow her on Instagram at @fallsintolove. Tana shares with us how she first got into waterfall chasing, not just in Oregon, but all across the West. She also shares with us some of her favorite waterfalls, including those at Havasu Pie, as well as some tips and tricks for taking incredible waterfall pictures. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Tana. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really excited to talk waterfalls today with our guest, Tana. She's going to be sharing about all her amazing experiences across the West Coast. Tana, really appreciate you coming on the podcast. You know, we always like to start off by asking our guests how long they've been hiking for and how they got started.
I think I've been hiking my entire life, probably before it was called hiking. My parents, we were pretty poor. So every weekend was spent somewhere in nature just going. And so I didn't know that it was a hike. That was just the way to get to the river or get to the campsite or find something. And then when I became a mom, it kind of was the same. Like, well, I don't have any money to go do all the exciting things. We're not going to Disneyland this weekend. So hop in the car. Here we go. And so I think when I first realized it was hiking and actually bought good shoes was probably 20 something years ago. And that's when it, you know, I started carrying a backpack. Maybe I had water this time.
And, you know, you're based out of the Pacific Northwest and in a spot that's known for its waterfalls. How would you describe the hiking and outdoor scene in and around your neck of the woods?
I think there's a lot of hiking opportunities. I didn't realize how much until I moved away. And then you come back and you're like, oh, I can name 50 trails right now that I can tell somebody to go on. You're within 2 hours of California. You get in the mountains, go in the Mount Shasta. Oh, I live in Southern Oregon. So then I'm an hour and a half away from the beach. I'm 40 minutes away from at least 16 waterfalls. I got plenty of places to go visit. I still drive 4 hours up to the gorge to go see those guys, but you can find something to do. Even in the winter, doesn't matter what season, you can find a good spot.
And, you know, Oregon is very similar to Washington, Tana, where, you know, the west side of the state is a little bit greener, gets a lot more rain. And then on the east side of the Cascades, it's more high desert. And Oregon, especially, it becomes more desert the further east you go. What are some of your favorite local hikes in and around your neck of the woods?
Probably my favorite hike that I could just go do after work would be the waterfalls in Prospect. You've got Mill Creek and Bar Creek are on the same trail. You can actually make all of them on the same trail, but it just depends on how wet you want to get. I have a picture of when I was probably 11 years old at the base of Bar and Mill Creek Falls. And I've been going to the base of those. I mean, I just went last week. So they've been going forever. And so many times people say, how did you get down to there? And you're like, well, it's a local secret now. So now you just keep it. You can always find a waterfall. That's my favorite hike. If I need to go right after work, we have the Table Rocks, which there's always people on there. You're not always going to find a big crowd the further out you go. So Table Rocks are a good hike. Everybody will go, but there's a lot of people there. So avoid it.
And, you know, this episode is going to be coming out in the middle of winter, but how was your fall hiking season down in Southern Oregon?
So this year, I think I pretty much missed the fall hiking here. We moved from Northern Utah, like the very middle of November. So I did get to come at the end of October. I was here in Oregon and we went to Bend just before the peak. So I didn't get to see super good fall colors in Oregon, but we made it back to Utah and I got to see some awesome fall hikes there. Bells Canyon was amazing. I mean, just all of Utah, the aspens just turned gold. So you're just looking at stuff. And then when we got back to Oregon, we got here Thanksgiving weekend and we drove to the Painted Hills and up through, you know, on our way back from Utah, we drove through. So I got to see Eastern Oregon definitely in the fall, and it's still beautiful. There's still some golds and the reds of the Madrones turn those colors. And yeah, I can't say that I got a ton of hiking in. Well, I got some on the coast, but the coast doesn't get in fall. So I was at the beach.
I can't blame you. And yeah, that's the thing I'm hearing about Utah is the aspen groves that are down in Utah, especially like in and around Salt Lake, you don't have to travel that far, are just amazing.
The thing about Utah hiking is everything's up a canyon, up a mountain. So you get in 1 mile, you're at 1,000 feet of elevation. Like it hits you quick. But you also then come back to Oregon and you're like, I'm the best hiker in the world because I've just been hiking up at this high elevation that hiking at sea level is just a different experience.
Oh, I bet.
So those hikes in especially northern Utah, they're straight up a canyon. Yeah. And the waterfalls especially. I mean, 2,000 feet of elevation just to get to a waterfall. It's a butt burner. Oh,
it makes you work for it because I feel like here in the Pacific Northwest, we're blessed with a lot of variety of waterfalls, but you know, it's hard to put a percentage, but I feel like a lot of them, there isn't that big of a hiking effort to reach, you know, a lot of them are short distances from the trailhead.
Yeah. So especially the well-known ones. Yeah.
You know, from your feed, it really does show that the winter months and especially the snow doesn't slow you down. Being back in Southern Oregon, do you have any winter hiking destinations?
The best place, if you want actual winter hiking, Crater Lake, for sure. You're not going to find a ton of waterfalls, but Crater Lake is, I mean, there's snowshoeing. You can just put your spikes on. Well, I mean, until they get too much snow, but you can throw your spikes on. And even just on your way to Crater Lake, you're going to find Prospect, even a Bend, you know, is close by. It's about an hour away. So you can find a bunch. You're not going to need snowshoes at all. But the best place to go winter hiking at all is the Oregon coast. Like just head to Brookings and just stay right there on the Samuel Boardman. There's 18 miles of trail. It's gorgeous views, even in miserable weather. It could be the foggiest day you've ever seen, and you're still going to have the best view and the best time and the sound of the ocean. Oh, there's nothing beats it. And you're going to find a waterfall. So,
you know, you've been able to share some beautiful winter pictures there at Crater Lake National Park. For a lot of the popular national parks, it seems like the winter months, if you're trying to avoid the large crowds and the long waits, it tends to be the slower months. Is that something that you experienced visiting Crater Lake in the winter? Do you have it to yourself?
It can get crowded. And also the sad part about Crater Lake is if you're coming to see the lake, you got to look at the webcam before you head up the hill. Because if that's socked in, you're not going to have a view. So it's just going to be a bunch of fog. So check the webcam. Check the webcam for every national park before you go, just to make sure you're not going to anything big. You can also even check, I don't know if this is news to anyone, but you can go to ODOT or check your road cameras for whichever state you're in, and it will show you what something's looking like. So you know an hour before you get there whether or not you're going to be dealing with fog or rain or something. But yeah, Crater Lake, it doesn't get as busy, especially in the winter. And I think they do close off most of the rim. So you only have one parking lot. We drove up to watch the Geminids and we were the only one there. There was two other cars in the parking lot, but I think they were sleeping. Nobody was out. It was about 10:30. It wasn't packed, but it wasn't the best night shooting, but it was gorgeous and had it all to ourselves. So yeah, Crater Lake's a good one.
And did you get a chance to catch a lot of meteors coming through during the showers?
I didn't get him on the camera, but I saw him. I saw about 10. Yeah, it was good. It was nice.
Solid tip on checking the webcams. The one thing I like to do for Mount Rainier is there's two ski resorts on opposite ends of it, Crystal Mountain and then White Pass. And both of them have webcams at higher elevation pointed right at the mountain. So
do they say that about Mount Rainier with like Mount Hood? Will they say the lady's out or Yeah. Is that what they say? Like, she's out.
Yeah, there's a website and I think Twitter that's called The Mountains Out. That's basically all they do is they report, is the mountain out today or not? And then give live updates.
I love it.
Now, Tana, you have been able to capture and share a ton of beautiful waterfalls across various states. And like we were talking before we started recording, I kind of fell in love with hiking with a waterfall hike. Can you take us back to maybe your first waterfall hike or the waterfall that captured your attention and got you chasing others?
I think the first ones were the ones that I go to a lot and still are Mill and Bar, Prospect and Pearsonee. And they are all pretty close by. They're close by each other. They're probably all within a mile of each other. Pearsonee is pretty short. It's about a 25 footer and it kind of cascades down some stuff. It's never bad, even when you're in full sun, but the full sun, it still is pretty. Mill and Bar are long, tall ones. They drop about 100, 120 feet. And then Prospect is a large cascade. It's basically the Rogue River running through and it goes right underneath the bridge. So you can just park your car at that bridge, hike to Pearsonee, come out to the top of Mill, look over, get back over to the bridge, and then walk along the road, get down to Bill and Mar and see them all. And about, it's probably going to give you about a 3 mile loop. Well, if you go to the bottom, it's going to add a little bit, but they're great. And I didn't know I loved waterfalls until I started trying to learn how to take pictures of them. And so then once you really, you kind of connect, I don't know, it's once you have it, it's like your subject or you have it's your photo, it's like, you know, like she's given it all she's got. I've got to capture it. You know, what can I do to make her look prettier? And yeah, so once you kind of really learn and it becomes an art, you just fall in love with every single thing about them. And yeah, so those four probably were my, just because they were so close, I could run up. My husband's favorite is National Creek Falls, which is up a little bit and it's always gorgeous. And you almost always will have it to yourself, even though I've seen millions of people's pictures. I'm like, where are they? Because they weren't there when I was there. But I don't know. It's a wonderful place to go, except for August and September. All the mosquitoes also like to go there.
And those Cascade mosquitoes, man, they're relentless.
Yeah. I say I donate blood every year.
Yeah. I'm going to have to steal that one from you, Tana. Now, you've been able, like I said, to capture so many beautiful waterfalls, and it actually led you to create a separate IG profile, Falls Into Love. How did that page kind of come about?
I feel like it just came. I just wanted a way to show the pictures of the waterfalls. I kind of wanted to also document how many I could see and photograph and get to. I was doing it pretty chronological for a long time. And then I probably fear of missing out when somebody else would post a really cool picture. I'm like, oh, now I got to go back to that one and get a better picture. And here I got to go back to that one. I remember in 2015, it was December. My husband and I both had a week off work. So we went up to the gorge. It was miserable, rain, whatever. None of my pictures came out good. Like everything was miserable. I couldn't get a long exposure to save my life. It was just wet. The poor camera was just dying. And so I've had to go back and redeem myself like over time. Like I got to go back up there and take these three and I got to go try them again and get there. So yeah. So my account has kind of morphed over time. It started off where I would describe the waterfalls or be very informative. And it felt like a chore. So over time, I've made it now where I pretty much post funny captions. They're mostly funny to me. And if you're enjoying my humor, then say something. Please don't tell me if you don't enjoy my humor. Just unfollow. Just get off. I don't want to have negative comments on my thing. It's all just for me to laugh and me to have fun. It's been probably one of my favorite things about social media that I've ever had is I was trying to count 45 friends that I've met and I've hiked with, or we've talked about something. The waterfall chasing community is pretty tight-lipped about some of the secret ones, but I've made so many good friends that, you know, to this weekend, I call them and say, I'm coming to Portland. What do you got? And they're like, okay, come stay at my house. And we went out, and one of my favorite adventurers that I hike with a lot, she had just moved to Southern Oregon and she didn't know anyone. And she had followed me, I think probably because I usually tag Southern Oregon hikes or Southern Oregon waterfalls. So she followed me and then just messaged like, would you be interested in going out? that's all you had to say to me. Like, just tell me I'm pretty and then I am your friend for life. Like, we are going to hike. So I made her my Friday hiking buddy. And now then I drag her on all my overnights. And yeah, she's been my constant for so long. And so many people like that. When I moved to Utah, I met a lady who I think we'd been following her for about a year before I moved to Utah. So I just messaged her and I was like, any chance we could meet? That was it. Like, my entire year living in Utah, like, she drugged me along to all of her things and she took me to every waterfall that she could. So wonderful.
I've had a chance to meet three people in person that have been previous guests or that I've met through Instagram. And yeah, starting in 2024, I'm scheduled to meet another three, like right off the bat in January, February, and March. And it's been so wonderful to interact with people on Instagram, but then be able to build that friendship in real life has been a true blessing.
It is. It is.
You know, one thing that I really enjoyed about your Falls Into Love page is you show the same waterfall, but in different light, in different categories of flow. And it doesn't necessarily like change the waterfall itself, but it gives it a different perspective or angle where it just makes each picture so unique. Do you have a favorite condition to capture waterfalls? If you could have a remote and pick the perfect conditions to shoot, what would they be?
Oh, cloudy forever, forever cloudy days. Right before or after it rains. In fact, I would probably take an after it rains waterfall. The trails are not optimal. They're going to be muddy. You just throw your spikes on. Yeah, that's probably the best for waterfall photographers, I think, or waterfall chasers. You don't want sun. You don't want that. It's going to wash out the white of the waterfall. So that's probably the thing. It's not always the best to hike in. I will say I've slipped down some mountains. Yeah. Cloudy. Cloudy day.
Now, we have a lot of waterfalls to cover. You have a lot of waterfalls to choose from your journeys. So what we'll kind of do is we'll just kind of go across the West Coast and into Utah and Arizona and the Southwest. But in no particular order, if you could share with us maybe three memorable waterfalls from each state or region, starting with like Washington, and then we'll just move down into Oregon and California.
Okay. So Washington. Washington actually has one of my absolute favorites, and that's Walloped Creek Falls. It's not an established trail. It's kind of a bushwhack, and you really have to be super nice with another waterfall person that's gotten there, promised to buy them dinner, and they might tell you how to get there. If you ask me, you're going with me and we're going together because I love it so much. Spirit Falls is another one in Washington that, oh my gosh, I would call it my favorite. The hike is so miserable. I heard it referred to as the elevator. There might be a rope. It's a sheet of mud that goes down that you put your spikes on and figure out how to get down there. And then you get down there and it's the prettiest thing you've ever seen. And then you got to go back up. So it's a schlep. Falls Creek Falls is probably my favorite that has an established trail. You can see Falls Creek Falls no matter what season. Like, I would say winter is probably absolutely stunning. And I know there's a ton of ones called Falls Creek Falls, but this one's like a two-tier, huge long drop. It's just kind of out of Carson Stevenson area. Add that to whatever list you have. Panther Creek is always a good one. Panther Creek, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with. It's a beautiful waterfall, but it's been destroyed by people crossing. And now there's a sign that says, don't go beyond this point. And you'll see so many people taking, you know, their picture right up next to the water. And, you know, they think like, that's the quickest way to get an unfollow out of me is to cross a thing. Like, if I can't do it, you can't do it. You know, like, don't do it. There's a bunch of secret ones, kind of hidden, no really trails. You got to tell me I'm funny and I'll tell you how to get to those other ones. But yes, there's some really good ones out there. And then in Oregon, I mean, I think my favorite gorge one is now Tunnel Falls. And I call it Tunnel Falls. It's Eagle Creek mostly, but you're going to pass 10 waterfalls along that trail. So the most waterfalls you can get, it's great. I mean, all of the ones, I don't think you can find a gorge hike that isn't stunning. Abiqua is probably my favorite in Oregon. And I say that trying not to hurt anybody else's feelings and all my other waterfalls, because they all know they're my favorite too. But I broke my ankle at Abiqua. And so she just took a piece of me. And so I love her. Yeah, she's just great. And then Grotto Falls, it's down in Douglas County. It's really close to Southern Oregon. That might be my most visited far away fall. Far away, meaning it took me 3 hours to get there. But climbing up and down into that one she's magical. Yeah, really good one. California has Yosemite. So Yosemite, there's 287, and I'm sure someone will tell me I'm wrong, but that's how many waterfalls are in Yosemite and I think I've only seen like 7. And I think out of them, that's another one. I don't want to upset any of the other ones, but Vernal and Nevada might be the best, but they were flowing so well this year, so they got it. And then Bernie is beautiful no matter when you go. So you have to go to Bernie if you're in California, or Mossbray. Mossbray is another one that you gotta do a little research to figure out how to get there. Again, I'll tell you, but I have to go with you. So Mossbray is, I think those are my favorite West Coast waterfalls. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mossbray, I just became aware from another guest that's in season 5. I came across it on her feed and it's spectacular. It's one of those places where you kind of have to know how to get there. There's no real trail.
They have put a trail in now, but you have to cross the river. So you have to be willing to go get wet up to your waist. So the old trail used to skirt private property of the railroad track. So now there were some people that said that was against the law. If you call the railroad, they tell you you're fine. But now that it crosses, so you just do it in spring. Don't do it in February. Like that's how I did it last time. And it was really cold, but you know, invest in some good waders. If you want to be a waterfall hiker, waterfall chaser, waders and waterproof socks are going to be your friend. And then I would say my favorite one in Utah that was not like Southern Utah is Scout Falls. And that's kind of on the backside of Timpanogos, which is a major hiking mountain that people hike up all the time. And so you park at this trail. It's about a 2 mile, but it's almost horseshoe shaped. So it's just coming off this huge mountain. And then it's just water, like a curtain, you know, just coming around you. On the other side from Aspen Grove, you also have the waterfalls coming off of Timpanogos, and they're just named Upper and Lower and Middle Timpanogos Falls. And they're kind of the same, but Scout just definitely has a more of a horseshoe shape. And yeah, what counts as a waterfall in Utah doesn't always meet the criteria of a waterfall in Oregon, so, or in Washington. So you kind of got to be a little selective. Sometimes somebody's like, oh, did you see this one? And you drive all the way out there and you're like, oh, this is a ripple. It doesn't count. Utah had a waterfall this year that I don't think it's been running for years, but because of the snow melt, it's called Gunlock Falls. It's just outside of St. George. I mean, when I was there, it was gushing. It was this, maybe 100 feet across wide and just coming down over red, bright red rock. Like it's not anything you've seen before. And you don't see it because unless you had a huge snow melt, you're not going to get a waterfall this year, but so many people were going. Everybody was posting about it. So I did it. I went down there too. Yeah, it was worth it.
And, you know, talking about waterfall hikes that are worth it, even if you're not a backpacker, you got a chance to visit one of the more famous waterfalls in Arizona. And I mean, to be honest, in the United States, I think it's on most backpackers' bucket lists when it comes to waterfall hikes, and that's Havasu Pie. Can you walk us through the journey and the experience of visiting all the beautiful waterfalls there in Havasu Pie?
So they closed during COVID. So we had tickets for all of that. So they just kind of kept just being pushed back. So our tickets were for October of 2023, or when we finally could go. And they have a cancellation list that also runs. And I was hearing that all these people were canceling. And so there were names on their cancellation list. So I knew I had my tickets for October, but I got on the cancellation list anyway. So I chose some dates and went with another friend. We went in June and then I went again in October. So it was kind of fun to go two times. In June, it was pretty warm. I would say it was in the 90s. I don't think we ever got to 100. It's a 12 mile. First, you're really 2 hours from the place where you sleep or prepare to get out there. You're a good hour away from the trailhead. So then you get to the trailhead and you're hiking, you want to hike in the dark so you're not in the heat of the day. So you leave and try to get to the trailhead by around 4:35 a.m. and then hiking out. You get about 12 miles. At about 8 miles, you get to the village and get a Diet Coke and a Twix. And then you've got about 2 more miles to get you to the top of the waterfalls. You'll start seeing the first fall. The first fall you come to is 50-foot falls, and you can't really see it from, but you can hear it. And then you come over and you see Navajo Falls. And then you come around the corner about another mile and you see Havasu from the top, and it's breathtaking. The teal color is otherworldly. And then it's surrounded by this travertine sandstone. So it's just this bright orange, you know, cliffs. And then you see just trees down the middle of this canyon, and that's the campground. So then the campground is about a mile long. So you go and you find your campsite. And at the other end of the camp is Mooney Falls. And Mooney Falls is, I don't know, there's no way to describe Mooney Falls. Like Havasu is maybe a good 100 feet and Mooney is probably 200. I might be wrong, 180, but it's just dropping, and that color and the walls is just gorgeous. So you find your campsite, you set up, and then usually you're done for the day because you just hiked about 12 miles carrying, well, you should carry probably 35 pounds. But if you bring your camera and your tripod, you're looking at 42 pounds and all your water that you tried to reserve so you'd have enough. That I carried too much water. So yeah, my pack was pretty heavy. And then you find your campsite, then you save yourself up for the next day. The next day you hike down Mooney and you go to Beaver Falls and you hang out down there. And then you can hike to the confluence if you want. I had talked to quite a few other people and they just said the confluence wasn't worth it. They say it was worth it, but as a waterfall photographer, there's not a lot of waterfalls. So I decided not to expend my energy and I just stuck around the other falls. And then on the morning of the fourth day, you grab your pack, load up at like 3 a.m. and you hike back out and you get to your car. So 4 days, everybody's permit is for 4 days. You're usually hiking in on the first day and hiking out on the last day. So you get 2 full days really at Havasu. When I went back in October, it was basically the same, or I had prepared for it to be the same. I did bring a sleeping bag because I didn't bring a sleeping bag. I just used a sheet. It got down to 20 in that canyon in October. So I was glad I brought my sleeping bag. Yeah. And I may have had to cuddle with my friends because we were a little chilly. It was a little cold, but there was still plenty of jumping in. There's 5 good waterfalls at Havasu Pi. You have Beaver Falls, Mooney Falls, Havasu Falls, Nevada Falls. And there's also I think there's something else that they're calling, I can't remember the name of it, but it wasn't really a fall. Like no. It wasn't, it was just a little ripple. And then you've got 50-foot falls. And I would say 50-foot falls is probably one of my favorites. It's pretty massively long, but the way it's oriented in the canyon, it just is so pretty. All the rest of them are beautiful. Beaver is probably my favorite, but 50-foot was a surprise. So when you go, make sure you see them all, but always check the cancellation list because people's lives change and they have to dump their tickets. So that cancellation list is gold in my opinion. So find a time and that make it happen. It is worth it. I feel like my husband thought I was crazy for going twice. Like, really? You're going to do a go again? You'd really need to go again? Yes. And I think I will go one more time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And they do like hiking and packing all your stuff. It's pretty rough. Like coming back out because you're hiking down about 1400 feet into the canyon. Yeah. So you got to come back up that, and you want to come back up that before the sun hits it. So they call it the switchback. So you want to hit that switchbacks before about 9 a.m., depending on what time of year you're going. So you're getting up early and you're trying to hike 12 miles quick. And it's rough, but they do have a helicopter on certain days that changes all the time. And then there's mules. So you could rent a mule and then have them carry your pack. So we didn't use those options, but it was, I feel like if helicoptering out would have been an option, I would have taken it, but it wasn't running the days that I was there. But to fly over the Grand Canyon and see teal water, I'll take that. Yeah. But also you got to bring your money for the fry bread. I mean, the fry bread is so good. So good. Delicious. You got to have the fry bread while you're there.
You know, kind of switching gears, one of our regular segments here on the podcast is doing a deep dive into our guests' Instagram and asking them about a picture or two that caught our attention. And the two pictures I wanted to ask you about don't involve waterfalls. The locations tend to be pretty dry throughout most of the year. But that was the moonscape overlooking Utah and Painted Hills in Oregon, which I believe moonscape overlook is starting to become more popular, especially in 2023, and we'll probably see it gain more popularity in 2024. But I feel like Painted Hills is an underrated gem for Oregon. And it'd be great to hear what your experiences were at both of those locations.
What's surprising is neither of those require much hiking, but you're going to be driving a couple hours to go. We spent a weekend out in Escalante or Grand Escalante. We went on a couple waterfall hikes that were in that hike, and we stayed out at a little yurt kind of that was right there in Hanksville. So we were right across the street from where Moonscape Overlook, you know, where you would drive. It's probably about a good 4 miles, I think, from the road that goes through. And then like, there's a pretty well established road that will take you there. It's dirt, but it'll get you there, but it does not look like it's part of this world. Kind of comes off on an L where the actual Moonscape Overlook is. It has like this one pedestal that people can go stand up on, but then there's all these little cliffs. And look from there, you're just looking south. It's called Utah's Blue Valley. The reason it's called Blue Valley is because it has, what is that called? It's a shale. It starts with an M. It'll come to me later. That has this blue tint. And so that's what causes that to look so blue. It looks like you're looking at the moon. So that's why it's called Moonscape Overlook. And not too far away, you'll see there's a lot on a lot of Instagram feeds, you're going to start seeing those spires. And those are in that same area, but just around the corner. So they come from a different road, but you can look down on those spires from near that overlook. But if you get there at sunrise, you probably won't ever be disappointed. We got there just after sunrise. And I don't think we had a great one, but I don't think I got a bad picture there all day at all. So it's great. The Painted Hills are a little different. And I play this joke. It's not a joke, I guess. I tell my husband that I don't believe in like evolution and dinosaurs. And it's kind of fun just to make him crazy. So when we go to the Painted Hills or we go to someplace like that, he'll say, oh, this is the reason it's red is because 40 billion years ago. I'm like, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in anyway, just to drive him nuts.
Yeah.
But the Painted Hills are different colors because of what they say the foliage that has been there before has died and then created colors. So you've got red and yellow and gold, and then there's black on the top. And sometimes you can see this little white even, and that's, you know, the white is like, I don't know, 13 million years old. And so you just see that right inside the Painted Hills. There's also fossils. There's a place where you can go see fossils. So the Painted Hills, I think specifically the Painted Hills are the hills of colors of these layers of not even a half mile away. You have this other boardwalk that takes you through this bright red, just mounds of rock. It just doesn't, it looks like you're walking on Mars. Like it doesn't, yeah. How did this just get here? Because you just drove, you know, 4 hours in a desert that had no color. And then all of a sudden you're just here in this place that has this bright red walkway. And then, you know, these mounds of beautiful color. And then, you know, just a few little way, you have a creek running all the way through it that you're like, where did this guy come from? It's a really fun, interesting place. It's someplace that's on the way to wherever you're going. So you got to stop there.
Dana, you know, we talked about capturing waterfalls on different types of days, whether it's moody days, sunny days. What are some other tips and tricks that you could share with us if folks are wanting to capture waterfalls with similar shots like the ones that you're posting?
So if you have a good camera, you need a tripod, and a tripod will make it so that you can capture, and I call it the cotton candy effect. I'm sure there's a real technical name for it, but it's to make it look like where you can see the movement in the water. That is making your picture use long exposure. And so you will just change your camera settings so that you can leave your shutter open a little bit longer. But with your iPhone, you can also pretty much do the same thing. You want to leave your live feature on. So you leave your live. It kind of looks like a target. You'll see that. If it has a line through it, that means your live is not on. So leave, make sure you can see the target. And then hold really still. click the picture right from the waterfall and you'll see a box with a sun, and then just drop your sun down a little tiny bit so your picture's just a little dark. And then really still, holding really still, take like 5 photos. Then you'll see up at the top, it'll say live and it'll give you a drop-down menu on the left-hand top side, and you're going to choose long exposure. Click long exposure and just see what it came out like. If you were holding still enough, it should have that glossy effect and make it look like your waterfalls did that. When the long exposure feature, at least on the iPhone, will also crop it, which I hate. So the way to figure out that is just to take the picture a little wider than you want. And then that way, when it crops it, it doesn't crop out all the good stuff. Right. That would be my tip for taking waterfall photos with your phone. Sorry about Android users. I don't know how to do it.
No, solid tips. You had an incredible 2023 hiking season and waterfall season. What are some hiking and waterfall goals for the new year?
Well, February is firefall season at Yosemite, and I have not done it yet. So this year, I've already got my permit. So I'll be calling up all my friends who already, you know, hang out down there and call them and say, hey, I'm coming. I got a permit for the 19th through the 25th. So I'm going to try to hit firefall. So firefall is when the sun hits Horsetail Falls and right off of El Capitan, when it hits it at a perfect time, it looks like fire is falling from the cliff. So it's a waterfall, but it's a fire. And then I'm hoping to go to Niagara Falls. And this year, or 2024, I turned 50. So for my 50th, I am hoping to go to Costa Rica. It's been on my list forever, never, ever. And I just got to talk the husband into it. I do have high hopes of making it to Banff this year. And Iceland's on the list, but it's not probably on the list for this year if I get all those other ones I want. So one of these days, Iceland will happen.
Oh, man, 2024 is looking like it's going to be another stacked year for not just waterfalls, but just gorgeous landscapes for you. Well, that was it for the regular questions, Tana. This last section of the podcast is the this or that questions. I'm going to give you 10 hiking related topics, and you just choose which one you personally prefer out of the two. They do get harder as we go, but the first one we start off with is, do you prefer a steep incline or a steep decline?
Steep incline, yeah.
And then I think this one's an easy one, but waterfalls or summits?
Oh, yeah. Waterfalls. I mean, a waterfall from a summit's all right. But.
And then this next one's about trail systems. Do you prefer a trail with switchbacks or would you rather go straight up?
I will say straight going up, but switchbacks coming down.
And then do you use trek poles or are you more freehand?
I use trek poles on a long hike. I use freehand because you got to have your camera handy. So freehand for most hikes, I think my camera's usually on my little capture clip on my bag, but I don't want to have to put down a pole to take a picture.
Now, when it comes to your footwear, do you prefer trail runners or hiking boots?
I'm trail runners.
This next one's another trail system question, but do you prefer loop trails or an out and back trail?
I like out and back. I think loop makes sense, but an out and back, you can always take pictures on the way back.
And then I think I know the answer to this one, but when you do come across a body of water, whether it's a creek, waterfall, river, do you touch the water, whether it's just with your hand, maybe dip your toes? You know, for some, it's jumping all the way in, or do you prefer to stay?
No, I'm usually wet. I come prepared to get in the waterfall usually, because that's usually where the best picture is. So you usually want to get in.
And this one's a tough one, but do you prefer sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
I'm going to go with sunset hikes. They seem to last longer than sunrises.
And you experience both of these, but spring wildflowers or fall colors?
I'm going to go with flowers. Again, I think they last longer. I mean, there's like 2 weeks of fall and it's over. But
yeah, that's the truth. And then the last one is, when it comes to outdoor spaces outside of the national park system, do you prefer national forests or state parks?
Ooh, national forests. Yeah.
Well, that was it for the this or that questions, Tana. For folks that want to follow your hiking adventures and all your beautiful waterfall posts, what are some of the places on social media and online that they can follow you at?
Right now, I'm just on Instagram, just as Falls Into Love. I don't have any other things.
And we'll be sure to link it in the episode show notes. Well, Tana, it's been awesome talking with you and hearing about your amazing outdoor experiences. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Tana. We extend a heartfelt thanks to her for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow her upcoming adventures on Instagram @FallsIntoLove. And don't forget to check out the episode show notes for more. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the winter months, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram at Ketsa Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.